Testing, testing with the Belkin mic. This would be the Belkin. Belkin, testing. This is the Scarborough Dude talking with the Belkin mic.
Yippee!
What's the title of this thing? No title again?
Is it rolling, Bob?
No, that's not good.
Get that out of there.
Once more. Much better, much better. One of the men's groups I have joined, the lead, the guy who does an excellent job leading the group, just got high-tech hearing aids. I mean, they were about $4,000, you know, they're just crazy. But, you know, he can control them from his iPhone, and it's just made a world of difference in terms of the quality of his hearing. And I know I could benefit from having them. There's a lot of things I just don't hear. I said to him, I'm still at the point where I'm quite often happy not to hear. Like, I really don't care. I just sort of, yeah, I keep talking, I'm not listening, in certain situations. But it does get difficult. At the only cafe, it's really hard sometimes, and you have to ask people to repeat, and eventually it'll get tiring, and someone will insist I get hearing aids. Also at the church, depending on where people are standing, if they're speaking from the back, from the front, I miss things entirely, and I know that everybody else is hearing, or everybody else who has hearing aids does. And my sister just got some, and so that's something down the road. But I mean, I've got enough. I mean, I'm just adjusting to wearing this damn brace, you know. I don't need this yet, although I would be smart to get them while my wife is still working and has some benefits and knock down that price a little bit, because they are very pricey, but they are pretty cool. They're not like the old days where it was visible to everybody. Anyway, that's not what I want to talk about. It's Saturday, December 30th, that's right. And I just released Dixon Jane's 662 this morning, and here I am starting 663. Welcome. But not for long. Just a couple of things I wanted to share with you. Number one, both my wife and I were feeling so concerned about the stray cat who we feed, and with this severe winter and weather and all the ads on TV and the news, gave your pets inside, and he's not our pet, and we fixed up a table, and it's covered, and we got a quilt and a box for him, but still, when we went to feed him this morning, there was like frozen drool, and it just broke my heart, and I couldn't stand it anymore. And I opened the door, put the food in, so he could come in and sit there and eat the food inside, and then I walked around the house, came up behind him, and closed the door. And of course, he panicked, tried to get out, jumped at the glass. But he is now trapped in our house and thawing out. Clumps of his fur were just falling. It's so sad. And I thought, I got to break this to my wife. And I before she came down, I went upstairs and said, you know, there's a cat in the house now. And she said, you did the right thing. I was going to do that myself. And I'm just so glad that both of us realized, no, it's reached the point where this is not right. The cat's not happy at all. It's, you still can't get within 6 feet of it. It just runs, it panics, it's terrified of people. But when I left it, it was hiding in a corner in the downstairs bathroom, just sitting there, and lets out a miserable howl. Anyway, I got a home. The more I talk about it, the more I got to go home. But it seemed, you know, in this Christmas season, this New Year's, the extreme cold, it just seemed the right thing to do. So we now have a cat and a half. He's a scrawny. I mean, this cat has been abused somehow or other. I thought maybe hit by a car or something. It has not had a good life, but I just hope it will eventually adjust and realize we will do it no harm. Yuki is just indifferent to it. Doesn't seem to bother her much. But anyway, that's also not why I wanted to get on. I just came across a passage in my Steve Jobs book by Walter Isaacson that I had to share with you. It covers so much. I just jumped ahead and said, you know, suddenly, like, the Macintosh is out. It's 1984. He gets invited to a party that Yoko is throwing for her 9-year-old son, Sean Lennon. And like he's moving up in the big leagues, and Andy Warhol's thrilled with it and says, you got to take one to Mick Jagger. Mick Jagger didn't know who Steve Jobs was or why he was at their house, but Mick Jagger's daughter loved it. What was her name? I don't know. Anyway, so he gave it to her instead. And then he's got this incredible apartment in, you know, downtown New York City, which he later sold to Bono for $15 million. All that stuff I find interesting. But anyway, this passage in particular. Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, despite their similar ambitions at the confluence of technology and business, had very different personalities and backgrounds. Gates' father was a prominent Seattle lawyer, his mother a civic leader on a variety of prestigious boards. He became a tech geek at the area's finest private school, Lakeside High, but he was never a rebel, hippie, spiritual seeker, or member of the counterculture. Instead of a blue box to rip off the phone company, Gates created for her school a program for scheduling classes. Sorry. Which helped him get into the ones with the right girls, and a car counting program for local traffic engineers. He went to Harvard, and when he decided to drop out, it was not to find enlightenment with an Indian guru, but to start a computer software company. Gates was good at computer coding, unlike Jobs, and his mind was more practical, disciplined, and abundant in analytic processing power. Jobs was more intuitive and romantic and had a greater instinct for making technology usable, design delightful, and interfaces friendly. He had a passion for perfection, which made him fiercely demanding, and he managed by charisma and scattershot intensity. Gates was more methodical. He held tightly scheduled product review meetings where he would cut to the heart of issues with lapidary skill. Both could be rude, but with Gates, who early in his career seemed to have a typical geek's flirtation with the fringes of the Asperger's scale, the cutting behavior tended to be less personal, based more on intellectual incisiveness than emotional callousness. Jobs would stare at people with a burning, wounding intensity. Gates sometimes had trouble making eye contact, but he was fundamentally humane. Each thought he was smarter than the other, and so on. Anyway, I thought that was a neat description between the two. It's really, really quite fitting. And again, I just find this so fascinating. There's just so much satisfaction and joy I get out of books. I mentioned at the end of my last podcast, one of my resolutions was for, you know, trying to spend less money. But it's not the new year yet, so I went to the beer store and to an LCBO, two LCBOs, got some sparkling wine for New Year's and some good stouts and porters for myself, and that's it. Oh, the car's almost out of gas. Got to fill that up. And I'm missing cashews. I really need nuts for New Year's, so I should go somewhere and try and find some nuts. But I got to get back and check out our cat first. So just a welcome, just a greeting, just a hello while I... get back to hearing the rest of the, you know, that podcast I listened to.
A bite, but not too much of a bite, which I'm sure I'll regret in about 12 hours. They're good. Bye-bye, man.
Do you think the bite will last all the way to exit? Oh, that's a shame. That's a shame. Is that a trendy food?
I don't know. I think it's just...
I don't know where trendy foods are heard of, but...
I'm supposed to... Olives? I should turn this down.
And the jalapeno is...
I'm supposed to actually be doing recording a gappage with Brent tonight, so I'm going to put that on hold and get back to you later on. Scarborough Dude, signing off.
I like the garlic stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we have something special down here at Birdland this evening. A recording for Blue Note Records.
dance as we dip in the melodic sea. Rhythm keeps flowing, it drips to MC. Sweet sugar pop, rocks and pop. You don't stop till the sweet beat drops. I shall improve as I stick and move. Vivid poems recited on top of the groove. Smooth mind, floating like a butterfly. Notes that are floating, sung like a lullaby. Brace yourself as the beat hits ya. Dip, trip, hit Fantasia. Jazz and hip-hop, dripping in your dome, makes your zone and bop. Funk infusion, a fly illusion, keeps you coasting on the rhythm you're cruising. Up, down, round and round, rhymes profound, but nevertheless, you got to get down. Fantasy freak through the beat, so unique, you move your feet and sweat from the heat. Back to the fact, I'm the Mac, and I know that. The way I keep the rhyme, someone call me a poet. Form steady flowing, growing, showing sights and sound. Caught in the groove, and Fantasia I'm found. Many tripped and tore upon the rhymes they soared to an infinite height, to the realm of the hardcore. Here we go, off I take ya, dip trip, flip Fantasia. The jam, boogie woogie jam slam, bust the dialect, I'm the man in command, come flow with the sounds of the mighty mic master, rhyming on the mic, I'm bringing suckers to disaster, buku ducks, but I still rock Nike, with the razzle dazzle, a star I might be, scribble, dribble, scrabble on the microphone, I babble as I fix the funky words into a puzzle, yes, 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 on and on as I flex, get with the flow, birds manifest, feel the vibe from here to Asia, dip trip, flip Fantasia, ow.
Background. This is yours truly, the Scarborough Dude, host of the Dixon James Podcast, the one and only, talking to you through my blue notes, white nuts, not even white anymore, you know, plastic, that starts off as white, kind of turns to a shitty light brown. That's what it's at now. Anyway, I got it set up, and I'm running this through my new Audio Hijack software, and the goal for today is to put together a clip that sounds okay. And will maybe help me next time I record an episode of Gappage. I do apologize, not for the quality of the conversation, but for the sound quality in the last one. There were too many things to play with, and in the end, it didn't work out at all. But this is something different. This is today, this is now. It is January the 4th, 2018. And I got lots to catch up on. Yesterday was one of those days, and I know it can get a bit boring if somebody drags you through the day, but yesterday was exceptional. It started off, like the first thing that happened was I backed the Toyota out of the garage. Now, it's a very tight fit because the road track is just lined up with the garage door. My wife's new a Mazda is sort of parked at an angle in the driveway, so you got to get it right so that you're not scraping the brand new door and the sides of the garage. she got to be very close to that road track, you know, and you're sort of judging by the mirror, your passenger's mirror. You got about a few inches there. Anyway, I back up slowly. I got an 8:30 class. I got to be there. And I hear this sound, and it's that sickening sound of, oh my God, I've hit something and I'm scraping. Oh, not good. And it was not good. Now, it was mostly plastic on plastic. And what happened, the road track, I've got a little door at the bottom for the electric cable because I keep it plugged in. And it was open maybe 1 inch. And it was that extra inch that caused something on the bottom of the Toyota to just put some pretty serious scuff marks in it. No denting, nothing cracked, nothing broken. Just a serious enough scuffing that I'll notice next time it's washed. But anyway, you know, I pulled it forward, I edged it back and forth, got it out, got to class. The next thing, I'm in school, I've stopped at McDonald's, it's just going right, I've got, you know, a coupon for a cheap breakfast, my wife hands me a $25 McDonald's card she got as a gift, and, God, we're ready to go. I'm only going to be expecting a handful of students. The day before, I had spent writing my final exam, and I did a very decent job, and I actually enjoyed writing it, probably knowing it's the last exam I'm ever going to have to write, and it didn't leave me any time to plan a lesson. I think, man, you got 3 hours, man. You've got to have something. No, there's enough to fall back on. I got the textbook. I'll see what they want. I'm just going to kind of wing it. But meanwhile, I'm going to grab a whole lot of these little things I pull off of Facebook, little quotes and things, you know. Things like this. I've got one up here. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequence of your choice. Now, I give them that, and I talk about it, and I ask them to paraphrase it. Tell me what it means, you know, in your own words. And then I'll point out, now there's a comma after choose. What kind of sentence is this? And of course, the answer is that is a compound sentence. How do we know it's a compound sentence? Well, because it's got the word but, which is a fanboy. For and nor, a fanboy, but, or yet so. If it's got one of those words, that means it's a compound sentence joined by this simple conjunction. Okay, so we get a little grammar in there going as well, you know. Now that's exactly what they have to know for this course. But the point, you know, I'm saying, hey, you can choose to fail this course, but or choose not to do your homework. Choose not to show up next week for the final exam. I'm getting that across. You know, choose not to bring a dictionary. And you're going to pay the consequence. So it works. And that's one example of a dozen I put up. I put up one on atheism. Here's another one. Fear kills more dreams than failure ever will. I get them to read it out. I get them to pronounce it. What I'm saying is, this is a technique I've developed in my years at the college that teaches more English in a short time and holds their interest, gets everybody involved, and is fun for the teacher as well. And this is the kind of thing I could do a very good presentation on at a teacher's conference, but I'm out of the game now. This experience and knowledge that I have is going to be wasted. I did another great quote on Steve Jobs, the lesson he gave to a graduating class. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life, etc. And I got into, you know, why are you here? Is it because of what your parents want or what you want? And I won't do everything that I did in that hour and a half, but I really picked some quality things to present up on the big screen that got them involved, that got a discussion, that got their interest. Then I got around saying, well, look, you know, you've been here for, you know, some of you just a few months. You don't know the difference in Canada and America, you know, although I do make references to Donald Trump too often. What are some things you've learned about Canada? What? Give me a word. And went to every student in the class. Give me one word that to you means something that Canadians would value, something important to Canadians. And wonderful range. They weren't allowed to use the same answer twice, but, you know, helpful, kind, and they weren't just doing it to please me. These are things they sort of picked up on, and that was nice. And then I came back and said, well, I'll tell you one thing, and you might not know. The land, the Canadian land, means an awful lot to us. The geography, the vastness, and I described that trip across the country, and there was a flat desk in front of me, and I said, you know, you got 1,500 miles of prairie land. And describe your first sight of the Alps. So I'm hemming it up. I'm in the class. I'm just sort of showing it with my facial expressions. I'm, you know, they're into, wow, talking about that trip. Talking about the first time I disobeyed my father and went off to Europe. You know, as a 20-year-old, 21-year-old, I guess. It was good. I reached them. So anyway, God, I'm making this boring, and I promised I wouldn't, but when I did put up the atheist card, I said, now, there are some countries, you know, it said, I'm an atheist, and then I'm all the good things about this person, you know, I'm kind, I'm helpful, I'm this, I'm that, which I wanted them to know, you know, atheists aren't the bad guys. I do have a few religious students in the class, but I walked up to a student with my finger pointed at his head and said, now, there are some countries where if you stand out and say I'm an atheist, and I did. I was maybe wrong to do this, but I did specifically say, for example, Egypt. I should have done Saudi Arabia instead, but this could get you killed. Here it's allowed, you know. Could you ever be president of the United States if you said you're an atheist? And they're struggling with that one. They think they should be saying yes. And I'm saying, not likely. Not yet. But anyway. Oh, God. It's not nearly as much fun telling you as it was telling them. But I ended with a song, and I'm going to play that song for you. Northern Air by Elliot Brood. And the reason was, when I was describing Canada and how much the land meant to Canadian people as part of our life, our feelings, I described. You know, we like to get into the country. If Toronto is not Canada. And you've got to get out. You've got to experience nature. And they got that part. Although they haven't had that experience, that luxury. And the song Northern Air, I put the lyrics up on the board. And the lyrics are beautiful. I won't read them to you. You can Google that, or I probably will try and get them. They were just lovely talking about... Oh, wrong keyboard. Yeah. I'm back. I've got two Macs on my desk here. What I'm actually trying to do is podcast from home, which is something I just never do. I prefer... I mean, I love my handheld. I love driving to one of the parks and just recording from there. It's just simple and easy. But we weren't getting any gappages done, so I thought I wanted to get a home set up, and now that I've got it, I want to try it out. So here I am. You can probably hear a difference in the sound quality between this and maybe the opening clip. And after this, maybe I'll go back to the car. I have no idea. It doesn't matter. I didn't finish what I was going on about, and I am going to play Northern Air for you next, but the lesson was a good feeling. It just was a good feeling, and it made me feel I'm going out on a really high note. Like I know I was a good teacher. I know I really did a decent job. Centennial College got good value when they hired me. I kept up my end, and I can say that, you know, I can just say that. It's true. But I'm happy to know that. I'm happy to know I can say that. I'm happy to know that I've done a good job, and I can hold my head high, and it's also probably a very good time to leave. So what else happened yesterday? Yeah, well, my wife came home and she said, you know, I feel like Hakka fish and Thai eggplant. And that's a favorite dish we order from the, or two dishes we order from the China Cottage up on Ellesmere and Pharmacy. Excellent little Chinese style takeout, but a lot of spicy stuff. So I drove up there, used her car, and on the drive up there, bam, suddenly it's dark. Well, it's not suddenly it's dark. It's dark and I don't have good night vision. But the road narrows down to one lane. And I don't see it in time. And I ran over a pylon and got stuck in the middle lane with traffic roaring by me. And I was, you know, in an area where I wasn't supposed to be. And thought, oh my God, that's the second time today that I've had a bit of a run-in with a moving vehicle. But got the dish, came home, it tasted better than ever. It was so good. And then we watched Coronation Street together, as we do. And up comes the Leonard Cohen concert special from Montreal. And it was something we could both enjoy. It was everything except Courtney Love. I shouldn't focus on the negative, but she stunk. Everybody else was just amazing in their performances. And it was just a good feeling that for CBC, for Canada, for Montreal, honoring this great Canadian Leonard Cohen, it made me very happy watching that. Happy enough to pour myself a scotch, which I never do. In fact, a second scotch. It was so good. So anyway, I guess what I thought was going to be a story about what a wonderful day was yesterday was didn't turn out so well. But I'm feeling good. I have a good feeling. Maybe some relaxed. The end of term is coming. I've got a lot of things I've got to prepare in January, February, before I take off in the road trek. You know, things to do in case I die, you know. Maybe I'm planning funeral arrangements, or I should be. And I'm thinking there's places where they take your cremated remains, stick it in the ground with some seeds and grow a tree on you, in you, through you. That would be a good thing to set up, you know, and say, all right, here, don't worry about it. There'll be a tree somewhere. Stuff I have to look at. Anyway, I'm going to have the time after I finish next week. And I've submitted my marks. I'm going to have time, so that's good. Why don't I play Northern Air for you now by Elliot Brood? Listen to the lyrics if you can. If you can't hear them, Google it. They're very simple, but it was just the perfect song to give my class. And again, unplanned, just sort of as I was walking to the class for some reason. I never do it, but I brought my little portable speaker with me and my iPhone. And again, unplanned, I said, whoop, here's a song. I'm going to play this. I don't know how I even came across it, but it was meant to be. And I guess that's what I'm really excited about. It wasn't that I planned a good lesson. It's that I trusted my instinct, which is something we talk about a lot, and came up with the right thing. So here, without further ado, is A Northern Air by Elliot Brood.
Time to think, let some troubles sink. Watch the sunrise, light a little fire. Watch the smoky lines cut between the pines. Cut between the pines, the darkness in our minds. Shed a little light, so far away tonight, so far away tonight. song. Back to that little pond.
Just brings me to the verge of tears. It happened in class yesterday. I was afraid I was going to cry when I was playing it. It's just so beautiful. It's so well done, and it's so Canadian. I explained the image of the pines. What are pines? Those are trees, yeah. And the song talks about seeing the smoke go through the trees. And I'm describing that it feels like to leave your troubles behind and throw another leader, a cedar on. I think that's the line. Lay that cedar on. And I'm saying that's a piece of cedar wood that smells beautiful when you put it on the fire. And of course, I'm acting it out. And that's really what topped the class off. Like, hey. And not knowing I was going to do that, but somehow just bringing my microphone or my speaker in, that JBL speaker that I've been talking about that I keep in the car, bringing it into the classroom and playing that song, it was such a beautiful ending to my teaching career. And you know what? I'm really enjoying this. Sitting here, looking at this neat little visual setup, because I'm a visual person, where it says input device, Blue Snowball, application, iTunes, and I got a couple of meters and a 10-band thing just for show, and into the recorder, and the output, the headphones I'm wearing, and it's a beautiful, this new updated version of Audio Hijack is well worth the $59 I just paid, believe me.
But anyway, sitting here at my desk, being able to play tunes for you, is just a lot of fun. So I think we're going to be doing a little bit more of this in future. Let me know what you think. It's all done on the MacBook Air. And again, thank you, Jason Reese, for talking me into spending even more money. But the idea was I'll be bringing this with me as part of the road trek. So I can actually have my little mobile studio on the road trek if I want, if and when I'm traveling. And just plain have fun. Okay, I think I'm going to bring an end to there. I don't know if there's anything else I wanted to say about yesterday that made it so special. But just was that just everything? The supper tasted so good. The class went so well. The Leonard Cohen concert, again, I was just teary-eyed the whole time and feeling wonderful. The taste of the scotch. It's all what we have to do, is enjoy the little things that count and just peel off some of those layers of worry and crap that get thrown at us, slapped on us every day by the TV news and things all around. All right, I'm going to go visit my buddy Brian this afternoon. I haven't seen him since before his surgery, and it was kind of neat. My wife suggested, well, you don't have to just go to a bar and have a beer with him. You know, drop by his house, see how he's doing. So that's the plan. A little update on the cat. He pooped in the basement last night. I was kind of happy about it. Like, he pooped a lot. And he needed to. Not happy about it was on the basement carpet, although we don't use the basement much. My wife has been so loving to that cat. She's a fanatical cleaner. I had to go out and buy two more cans of Lysol towels, and she's just fanatic about having things clean. But she was sort of almost apologizing to him. We know, you're not ready yet. He can pee in the litter box. He hasn't learned where he can poop there, too. don't know how we're going to tee. I suppose I should have picked it up and put it in the box and showed him, but anyway, wait for next time. We've meanwhile closed the basement door. Sad old cat. It just had a rough life, but I'm really glad. You know, he's got places he likes to sleep. He's quite attached to my wife. I guess the nicest part of all, the thing I'm enjoying the most, is she only talks to him in Japanese. But talking the way you would to a little child. And it's just nice to hear. I love the sound of Japanese. I always have. And to hear her talking and me understanding what she's saying, because it's simple enough, you know, that it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing, and her endearment towards this poor, miserable cat is quite wonderful. All right, ending on that note, I gotta go, so I'll be back, and maybe I'll even introduce the next tune now when it's time. This is yours truly, the host of the Scarborough Dude, on the Dixon James Podcast. Bye for now. Yeah, I'm back. It's still up in my office room. It's kind of nice. It's it looks over the street I'm on. There's a beautiful big house across the way. And then a ravine, so there's lots of trees. And it's nice. Like I say, was saying earlier, I never talk from home. It's just kind of weird that I've over the years become so mobile. So anyway, let's not get too hung up on where we are, although it is something I talk about all the time. I want to introduce a couple of things. First of all, if at the very start of this show, you would have heard just a little 20-second clip of me testing out a mic. That was from 10 years ago. Yeah. Remember, I started off recording just using my iPod. There's a Griffin mic you could stick up on top. And then the iRivers, which I loved. That was the most exciting. That's what made me feel mobile. This little thing in your shirt pocket you could carry anywhere. I just love that. I still have them. Those are museum pieces now. I've got two of them. But now here I sit recording on my MacBook Air, which will also be portable in a way, and that I can stick it into a vehicle. I'm going to keep the Blue Snowball. It seems to be working okay for now. I got good feedback about a better mic I could get, but didn't get around to, just didn't feel I need it just yet. So, there you go. What was it anyway? An ATR2100 XLR USB hybrid. And they're about $80 on Amazon.ca. But then, you know, for a better deal, you could get the little muffler that goes over the top and a stand to hook this thing into. I thought, oh, shit, I don't want to go that way. This Blue Snowball comes with its own little stand. In fact, this one I actually won through maybe a contest or something Bob and Mark had, or maybe it was at one of the BAB conferences. But I won it, and I'm very, very glad that I did. So I will keep it for now, yellowing as it is. All right, enough of that crap. Jesus. I'm going to play another song. Maybe it's too early. Maybe you won't like it. But it's one of the ones I got in Kempville at that sort of used clothing store for 50 cents. And I like it. And it's hard to believe it's from 2002. Like, how long was it? What, 15 years ago? Really? She was huge in Japan. I know last time I was in Japan, they were driving around in a giant truck, and the sides of the truck were all like a screen. It was lit up, and it was a huge picture of her. And, you know, just, bam, meant to get out there and say, you need to buy this lady's records. So you'll know who it is. I like it for the lyrics. I think it's a very cool little song. And when I heard it, it made me feel good. I thought it was clever. And it's fun, and I hope you like it too. So without further ado, here is Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. Her head was up in space. She needed to come back down to earth. nice. If you didn't hear the lyrics, it's worth Googling them. It's a very simple story. I love it. It's just, if I was in school at that time, I would have liked it. It's good. Okay. I don't care if you don't think so, but I love it. And we'll leave it there. There's something else I want to share with you. And while I'm having fun playing DJ, I found another clip. Now, I don't know if I've got it on this computer or not, but it was something that was recorded in November. I've got it here. In November of 2005. So this is, I've just started podcasting? How could that be? Yeah. Because I guess I started in January 2005, that's right. And then took a while to get them up. Anyway, I found this clip. And I was talking to Francis Wooby, or chatting with, and said, it's as if the future Ken from now went back then when I was just starting in podcasting and whispered in his ear, said something, and past Ken picked up on it. And I won't say any more. I'll just let you listen to it. So this recording is from way back then on very basic equipment, but just listen to this and digest it.
Well, this is kind of funny. It's probably only 5 minutes since I made that last clip you just heard about the finding these, looking for signposts. And I got driven away from that beautiful spot because all kinds of cars are going up. I think there sometimes there's weddings and church services, and all kind of churchy-looking middle-class people were showing up in their vans, and it just bugged me. I didn't belong there anymore, and I got driven out, and I will get to the driven away from your spot story a little later on. That one was more fun. That took place in a temple of Mexico, but I digress. I realized just now that I'm doing these podcasts because I have to do them. It's an overpowering urge. I just have to. It's not that I need to, yes, it is. I need to. What am I saying? I'm saying that I really want to, and maybe that's what I'm afraid of. I'm a little bit afraid that they're going to become too important to me, that I'm going to need you, the listener, too much. I'm going to need to keep doing them, and that's what I'm afraid of, and maybe that's why I'm talking about stopping. It's like a drug habit that, no man, you got to quit, you got to give up, you got to let go. And I'm afraid that I won't be able to stop doing the podcast. I know that's got to sound so damn stupid, but I'm afraid it's going to be too important to me and too much of who I am and my sense of identity and self-worth and everything else is going to be tied up in these podcasts. And I'm scared shitless of that happening, that this will become who I am, this disconnected voice coming to you from the dark, from the ether, will be just too damn important. And I don't want to let that happen. I'm afraid to let that happen. I'm afraid of what that means. And that's weird. I had an email from Ted at Island Radio talking about only wanting to do podcasts when he feels like it, and that's quite right. And that's the way it should be. You know, I would never be, I'm doing it every week, but if it happens to be a Sunday when I start, which is today, or a Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday, I try to get one up every week, but I do it, and I do the pieces when I feel the urge. And that's great. It allows me a lot of freedom. It might make for a bit of a mixed up, chopped up, tossed salad of a podcast, but that's what works for me, and that's what I've got to go by. And if I don't feel like doing them, I just won't do them. But the problem is I know that or fear that I will always feel like doing them and won't be able to let go. Isn't that funny? Well, there you go. That seemed to be one more thing I really had to say, and now that I've said it, doesn't seem very significant or very important at all, but I've done it, and we'll carry on and see where this gets us. Huh? Stay tuned, because it ain't over yet.
Okay. Actually, I take back what I said. That wasn't future Ken talking to past Ken. That was clearly, obviously, past Ken talking to future Ken now. The toss salad style of clips here and there and not on a regular basis, but probably every week, that's held true. It's just that I'm not afraid of it anymore. Like, it's odd that I would have had that feeling that I would be so worried that this was something I couldn't let go of. Now it's quite clear I can't let go of it, but I don't care. It's something I do and something I enjoy. But I thought it was really interesting. And I guess there's not much more to say about it after all. Okay, I'm probably going to stop here. I've only got a few minutes left in this podcast. I want to put it out today. I just feel so excited. The trouble is, I want to do another one. I want to start again. I just love this idea of being able to integrate my iTunes with, you know, the voice recorder and do all this stuff that I haven't really done from my car. It's all sort of been after the fact. But being able to pick a song and talk about it. Hey. Okay. I'm looking at the image for the snowball, and it looks like it's fading a little bit. Hello? So that's a good place for me to stop. I'll be back very soon to wind this up. Scarborough Dude, still you're a host after all these years. Oh yeah, it did crap out. Yeah, fucker. Bye for now. Take two. I can't trust this mic. I just recorded a clip and there was no sound at all. Looks okay now in the visuals, so we'll carry on. I've only got 6 minutes left. And I realized I had nothing really to share with you, so I'm going to continue to play DJ, and I'm going to put on another song for you. This is from 1957. When you think about that, I think, oh, 50 years ago? No, that's 60 years ago. So this is the same year Kerouac released On the Road, or it was finally printed and put out there, and he became a celebrity. But at the same time, there was, you know, the ultra-conservative America, which is why this book was so important. But you had people like Perry Como, Pat Boone, and these other white stars singing white music for white people. And, I mean, that was the world I lived in. I grew up with this. And this particular song I remember really, really liking a lot. It was a hit. It became a number one song. It won awards in 58, but it first came out in 57, but it would have been repeated. You just didn't have the volume of music and the types. So on your radio stations, your AM radio, you're hearing the same stuff over and over again, sometimes for years. So I think quite a few of you, I'm pretty damn sure that our good friend in Tennessee, Jason, will know this well. So Jason, this one's for you, for what it's worth. I'm listening. I'm still kind of enjoying it, but you know, there's a lot of stuff I enjoy a lot more now. But anyway, let's get to it. Where is it? It should be just right here.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day. For love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. Just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Love may come and tap you on the shoulder some starless night. And just in case you feel you want to hold her, you'll have a pocket full of starlight.
Pocket full of starlight.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away.
Never let it fade away.
Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
For when your troubles start multiplying, and they just might, it's easy to forget them without trying. With just a pocket full of starlight, catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Never let it fade away. Catch a falling star and put it in your pocket. Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
Save it for a rainy day.
Thank you, Perry Como. I would, you know, it actually was kind of nice. I think I dissed it a little bit, but it still holds up to me. It's quite beautiful. It's very well produced. And, yeah, all around, it still sounds good to me. So I apologize if I dissed it earlier. Sorry, Perry Como. I was trying to be, you know, I don't know, a little more hip. But I remember, actually, kids in my class having Perry Como sweaters. These sort of red, like a pullover sweater that you could, you didn't zip it up, but you could button it up. That was a style, and didn't know too many people with white bucks that Pat Boone wore. But yeah, I remember the 1950s, and I feel kind of lucky to be able to reach so far back into the past. Earlier in the podcast, I was talking about the aches and pains and the arthritis in my joints and all this shit, but being able to go back and dig out and just, you know, have some of those memories. God, I'm sounding awfully corny, aren't I? All right, listen, if you like this new format, if you think, because to me this feels like a change, feels like a big change recording from home. If you like it, just send me a comment. Let me know. If you don't like it, tell me the same damn thing. This is the host signing out. Yours truly, the Scarborough Dude from the Dixon James Podcast. Long may we go. Oh, yeah.
Testing, testing with the Belkin mic. This would be the Belkin. Belkin, testing. This is the Scarborough Dude talking with the Belkin mic.